said that about, in a sense, what are we on about? Who are we? What's our mission? What's our ministry? I'm coming to come to Matthew 11. And it's Jesus, headed here, Jesus and John the Baptist, Matthew chapter 11. Now, I'm pretty certain that in my 3.5 years here, we've mentioned this passage. But let's come back to it again today. And let's see what it's got here for us. It's a real time of transition, this, when we read about Jesus and John the Baptist, because one way to look at what's going on is John the Baptist really has a great deal more in common with people like Ezekiel, people like Amos, people like the Old Testament prophets from way back, 400 or 500 years earlier, than he does with Jesus, because he's still operating where the governing covenant, the governing contract agreement, is the Ten Commandments, the law of Moses. So John the Baptist is dealing in a nation or a people where the Ten Commandments are what they know about how to obey the will of God. And that's still the covenant, the contract that is in existence during this time. Jesus himself, until he died and was raised again to bring in the new covenant, lived in the old covenant. It might be a bit tricky to get our heads around, but he did. And this is why, for example, when Jesus spoke to John the Baptist about being baptized, he said, "You better baptize me because that's what's required under the way things are right now. Things will change in the future, but for right now, you need to baptize me." Okay, so Jesus understood that he was living under the old covenant. And so here we have John the Baptist and Jesus. And one helpful way, I think, to look at this is to see this is John the Baptist becoming aware that his time is going and the time of Jesus is coming. The covenant is finishing and the new covenant is on its way. But he wants to be certain. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who doesn't stumble on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? Did you go out to see a reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? Did you go out to see a man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. They're not out in the lonely parts of the river, in the desert." Then said Jesus, "What did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet, whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence, and violent people have been raiding it. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. If you're willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. Whoever has ears, let him hear. To what can I compare this generation? They are like children sitting in marketplaces and calling out to others, 'We played the pipe for you and you didn't dance. We sang a dirge and you didn't mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say he's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her deeds.'" Okay, so that's Matthew chapter 11 up to verse 19. And as I say, it's Jesus acknowledging the transition between John the Baptist and him, between the old covenant, which was governed by the laws of Moses, and the new covenant, which is governed by grace, by the laws of grace. Love the Lord your God, love your neighbour as yourself. Okay, give people what they need to be who they need to be. Amen. And John had a different sort of message. He had a message about repentance. He had a message about justice. Right? Remember, he spoke up to the soldiers and told them, be content with your wages. Don't take more than you're required to take. You know, don't mistreat people. Just be content with your wages. Don't bully people so that you get more. He spoke about justice and he spoke about repentance. And he talked about, let's get ourselves right so that we are fit for the kingdom that is to come. Okay? Jesus comes and he says, let's acknowledge that the kingdom is here and the kingdom will make us right. They had different messages. John was a message of putting things aside and of going without, right? He fasted, he ate simply, he dressed in simple clothes. He lived out in the desert rather than in the city. And he was a man talking about the end. He was a man talking about the end of his covenant. And saying there's something greater to come. When he baptized Jesus, didn't he say, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Right? So John's message was about let's get rid of our sin and let's be ready for the world that is to come. Jesus comes and says, the kingdom is here and it will fit us. The kingdom itself will fit us to live within it. Okay? The presence of the kingdom of God in our hearts. In other words, if God is king in our hearts, he will take the sin away.
Amen.
We don't have to get rid of our sin for God to come and live in our hearts. Jesus is saying the kingdom of God is here. He will take our sin away. Right? And these are two quite different messages. And people didn't accept John and they didn't accept Jesus. And he quotes this passage. You know, to what can I compare this generation? They're like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to others. We played the pipe and you didn't dance. We sang a dirge and you didn't mourn. In other words, Jesus is saying that people who don't get it, people who won't listen to the voice of God whispering in their heart and let it connect with what they're seeing in front of them, will never be satisfied with what we do. People whose agenda is anything other than the kingdom of God will never be happy with what they see Christians doing. One of the things we find most coming at us is this idea that all roads lead to Rome. You know, there's so many roads up the mountain, but the view from the top is the same. We're all doing the same thing, you know. I bought a cup of coffee yesterday in the Towers, and the manager said to the waitress, make sure you give him a discount. I was in my uniform, you know. And if people want to be kind to me, I'm going to let them. And so as I left, I walked past him and said, thank you. He said, oh, yes, we've got to give you the discount, mate. We're doing the same thing, you and I. Oh, yes, okay, yes, righto. He says, yes, I'm a Mason. You're the Salvation Army. We're doing the same thing. And I didn't say to him, but I walked away thinking, no, we're not. We're not doing the same thing. There are times when, like train tracks, travelling, and if you've been, you know, one of the things I noticed when I came into Sydney was the complex rail system there is down here up in Brisbane. It's, you know, a couple of lines, that's it. But you go to somewhere like Sydenham, and there's lines next to each other, and you've got a train here and a train there, and they go in the same direction, and off they go, and, you know, you're heading the same way, and you could actually communicate with someone through the window into the next train. You know, you could write something and hold it up in the window, but then one train goes off a different way. And that's like it is with us sometimes, you know. I go to Rotary, and the guys at Rotary, you know, Rotary has its agenda, we have our agenda. And there are times when our agendas are running parallel. But when it comes to things of faith, when it comes to professing the gospel of Jesus, that's not part of Rotary's charter. Rotary keeps on going this way, and we have to go on the way where it confesses the things of faith, right? And so people will come and say, a Christian should do this. I've got an idea in my head of what a Christian should be. And essentially what that comes down to is a Christian should be nice, you know? And if you upset me, you're not a Christian. And if you upset my friend, you're even more not a Christian. Okay, so people have this concept of what a Christian ought to be, and they hold it tight in their hearts, and they tell us what we should be like. And they say, you're not being a Christian if you don't act this way. You're not being a Christian if you don't act that way. When in fact, we who trust in Jesus, we have the Spirit of God guiding us. And we know what it means to be a Christian. And sometimes it means parting companies, letting the trains go their different directions on different tracks. We don't wish anybody any harm, but we have to let the trains go on different tracks. And you know, people will say, you have to stay on the same track as us. Well, no, we don't, because our purpose in living is different, you know. And if people want to live their life by the golden rule, do unto others as you would be done by, you know, that's fine. That's part where our tracks are running along the same time. But if we then say, you know, well, your sin is something that's going to hold you back from enjoying the fullness of God's kingdom, and they disagree with us, they'll call us unchristian. We'll play the pipe and they won't dance, or they'll play the pipe and we won't dance. You know, they'll tell us what we ought to be doing, and when we don't do it, we fall short of their expectations, and we need to be comfortable with that. Not gleeful about the fact that they're upset with us or that they're disappointed, but comfortable with the fact that our roads will take a different path. And we need to be confident about the path that God is calling us to. Remember when Jesus said to the disciples of John the Baptist, you know, tell him what you see. Don't worry about the claims we make for ourselves. Tell him what you see. These things are happening because the kingdom of God is here. You know? People are being healed, the dead are being raised, the poor are being set free. Just tell him what you see. Don't worry about the claims I make for myself. Just tell him what you see happening. And in part of the conversation I had with the HR person the other day, I said that, you know, a similar sort of decision that's causing trouble now was made some little time ago. And I heard all about it in the pubs. Didn't I cop a mouthful a few weeks in a row in the pubs? How dare we get rid of this person? How dare we ask this person not to volunteer? You salvos, you know, blah, 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 blah. There have been a couple of comments, Chris tells me, in the pubs, but nothing like that this time. There's no condemnation of us. There's no, how dare the Salvation Army do that? Just an acknowledgement that this has happened. And, you know, I think the difference is that some time ago when that decision was made, it was made for really unhealthy reasons, and that manager is no longer the manager for those reasons. And people could see that the shop wasn't being run in the way that we claimed it should be run, right? So it wasn't, you know, we were claiming... Here we were, the Salvation Army, and they were correct in saying that the shop wasn't being managed well, so they got stuck into us. This time, I think people can see that there's something about our family store which gives them confidence that there's something going on there. So people, fair-minded people, will look at the store, will look at the core, and will see what God's doing through us. And we'll accept that that means sometimes that the train tracks have to diverge. But there are still some people who will be upset with us because they'll want to say, if you're a Christian, you have to do this. If you're a Christian, you have to say that every religion is the same. If you're a Christian, you have to say that there's no difference between anything anyone believes. You know, well, no, we don't have to say that. If we're a Christian, what we have to say is that the love of God is shed abroad in through the Holy Spirit for everybody, and that love of God will challenge us and our lives will change if we're paying attention to the voice of God in our hearts.
Amen.
Okay? So, what did you expect? Did you expect to see just a reed getting blown in the wind? not standing up for anything, just getting knocked around. No, well, the people that went out to see John the Baptist didn't go out to see someone just going with the flow, just following the trend. And they didn't go out to expect to see somebody dressed in finery feathering their own nest. What they went out to see was a prophet. When they went out to see John the Baptist, they went out to see somebody to challenge them, right? And I think we should be living our lives as a core and as individuals in such a way that we hold firm to the things of the love of God and the gospel of Jesus. We can say to people, don't worry about the claims we make for ourselves. You look and see, is God at work in this core? Is God at work in this family store? And if so, listen. Why do you come to the Salvation Army? Do you come to the Salvation Army to see somebody just going with the flow and floating around with every wind of opinion? Well, people shouldn't be expecting that of the Salvation Army. People should be expecting the Salvation Army to stand up and say, we have standards. We're not going to sell these things in the shop. And if I ask you not to put them out in the shop, there shouldn't be any question about it. Amen. Okay? We're not going to have these books in the shop. We're not going to have this attitude in the shop. We're going to be a place where the love of God and the priority of the gospel are paramount. And so it should be that people would say to each other, well, it's the Salvation Army. What do you expect? They are there to do a job. They are there to be who they are. Be the Salvation Army. Much as the management from Castle Towers has said to us from time to time, be who you are. You're here to be the Salvation Army. You know, you're not just here to collect money. You're here to be the Salvation Army. And that's how people ought to be talking about us, because we ought to be being firm about the things that we're doing. We ought to be living out and preaching the gospel and acknowledging that that means that our paths are going to part way from people sometimes. And, you know, it's like when the people came up to see Jesus and say, what must I do to inherit eternal life, said the rich young ruler. And Jesus said, well, for you, what you have to do is you have to give away everything you own to the poor. And the Bible tells us that that guy went away sorrowful. Jesus let that guy leave. Yeah? Now, he may have then gone off and bad-mouthed Jesus about being too demanding or being unfair or not being a Christian or whatever. But the fact is that Jesus has his agenda, has his purpose, and stuck to it, and he let that guy leave. Told him the truth about what was required, and he let him leave sorrowful. Okay? Let's hold firm to the things that we profess. Let's hold firm to the truths of the gospel. Let's hold firm to the love of God that reaches to everybody but doesn't compel anybody against their will.
Amen.
Right? The love of Christ compels us who are committed to the love of Christ, but the love of Christ doesn't bully anybody into staying or into behaving in a certain way. You're here or will allow you to go. While our paths are in common, while I can work with Rotary and we're aiming at the same goals, that's fine. You know, while I'm working with someone else and we can achieve the same goals, that's great. But when the time comes for the tracks to part way, let's let the tracks part way. Yes. And if someone's unhappy about the tracks parting way, let the tracks part way. We have a loyalty to Jesus. We have a loyalty to our King. And we ought to be living so consistently that we should just be able to say to people, what are you guys on about? Well, what do you see? Our actions should be exactly the same as our words.
Amen.
And our actions should be guided by this. Love God, love your neighbour. The kingdom is here. The kingdom will change you. The presence of the Holy Spirit in our midst will fit you for this new kingdom. People don't have to be perfect first. They just have to want to be part of the kingdom. Now, if they don't want to be part of the kingdom, we need to graciously let them go. If they do want to be part of the kingdom, we travel along with them, guiding each other on how our lives can change as the Holy Spirit tells us how. Let's pray.